Mr. President, I want to associate myself with my good friend from Tennessee, Senator Bob Corker. We always say good friend, but the truth is that Senator Corker has truly been a good friend. We came to this body together, and he has exhibited uncommon common sense in this body time and time again, and once again you have today. And I want to thank you, Bob, for your remarks about this bill. You know, Mr. President, time and time again over the past year, I've been here on the Senate floor raising my concerns about the direction that this body is heading. Secret backroom deals on a health care bill, take it or leave it tax bill that was dropped on our desk literally hours before the vote. And the floor time that has been wasted just to score political points. And quite frankly, this dysfunction has turned this world's most deliberative body into a shell of its former self. Folks in Washington have shied away from the big debates, refused to tackle the tough issues that are facing hardworking Americans every day. But this week, I'm hopeful this can change. Today, we begin the debate on the Bipartisan Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act. This bill is a product of years of bipartisan negotiations, hearings, and compromises. And under the leadership of Chairman Crapo and my good friend Senator Heitkamp, Donnelly, and Warner, we have struck a bipartisan agreement that is needed to provide an economic boost for rural America. Folks from both parties put their differences aside. We negotiated from our points of agreement, and we emphasized common ground. And we kept working towards our shared goal of strengthening America's economy by providing common sense, regulatory reform to small and medium-sized banks, to community banks, and to credit unions. During the committee process, this bill was marked up and debated for 7 hours. We voted on 36 amendments during an open amendment process. The chairman handled that committee process incredibly professionally. Since this bill was introduced in the Banking Committee last year, it has been strengthened by senators who are not on this committee. And it has been endorsed by regulators, veterans group, and job creators from both parties. This bipartisan bill has the support from folks of all walks of life and is co-sponsored by more than a quarter of this body because they know that reform is desperately needed. In my home state of Montana, prior to the financial crisis in 2008, there were 72 chartered banks. Today, that number has dropped to 49. What we have seen in Montana is not unique throughout this country. Across rural America, bank consolidation is leaving communities underserved. Community banks and credit unions didn't cause the financial crisis back in 2008, but they have suffered under a one-size-fits-all set of regulations specifically designed to rein in the behavior on Wall Street. As a result of complying with these regulations, many of our community bankers are hanging up their hats, and our local banks are being swallowed up by bigger banks, and ultimately they will be swallowed up by the folks on Wall Street. Furthermore, when a community is bought out by a big bank, their business model changes, and it's no longer tailored to fit that community. Despite being a small portion of the banking industry, community banks provide, listen to this, 48% of the small business loans in this country, 15% of the residential mortgage lending, 43% of farmland and farm lending, 34% of commercial real estate loans. These banks are designed and built to serve their community. But since the passage of Dodd-Frank, the number of banks in this country has declined by 14%. And in our state of Montana, with some quick math, it's closer to 30%. If you're a product of rural America like I am, you know full well the consequences when a bank leaves town. It is just a matter of time before that community shrivels up. Folks, something must be done. 8 years ago, during the dark days of the financial crisis, I proudly supported Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank was needed to crack down on the risky behavior, and for the most part, Dodd-Frank has been successful. But like all major bills, Dodd-Frank had some unintended consequences. Since its passage, small business lending has declined by 41%. That is why our bill is needed to bring more capital to main streets across America and to protect community banks from further consolidation. Our bill provides small and mid-sized banks and credit unions with more flexibility to meet the unique needs of communities that they serve. It also provides our community banks with much-needed regulatory relief and cuts the red tape to keep our local banks competitive. And it includes critical consumer protection provisions to better protect our veterans, our seniors, and tenants. This bipartisan bill makes it easier for young families to purchase their first home. It helps family farmers and ranchers secure the capital that they need to survive a tough year when Mother Nature doesn't cooperate. It helps small businesses and startups secure the funding that they need to grow their businesses and create more jobs. And it protects the small banks that serve as a cornerstone of rural communities from being eaten alive by the big boys on Wall Street. In addition to banking reform, this bill strengthens the rights of consumers. It provides consumers with unlimited free credit freezes and unfreezes. It prevents mortgage companies from immediately kicking tenants out of their homes if a landlord is foreclosed upon. It increases safeguards against fraud for veterans, active duty service members, seniors, and children. But over the course of this debate, there are going to be some folks who come to this floor and peddle misinformation. So let me be clear about what this bill does not do. It does not roll back the regulations on Wall Street's fat cats. It does not make structural changes to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It does not weaken or repeal the Volcker Rule for large banks. It does not change the way the Federal Reserve regulates foreign banks. It does not weaken efforts to combat lending discrimination. I've seen a lot of falsehoods claimed out there about this bill already. So I hope this debate stays grounded in the facts. And the fact is that folks in rural America need this bill. Take, for instance, a community bank in Polson, Montana. Polson's population, 5,000, and that might be generous. The community bank had faithfully served this community for decades. But the regulations for Dodd-Frank were so burdensome on that small bank and so costly that they were forced to sell out to a larger bank. But it's not just Polson. Here's what other folks in my state are saying about the bill. A small credit union in Billings, Montana, a small credit union, and I quote, as a small credit union, we spend ridiculous amount of time complying with complex rules, and I'm pleased to see a bill that would eliminate some of this red tape so that I can focus my resources on serving my members. That was from Sidney Eckbakken. L. Bakken, manager of Homestead Federal Credit Union in Billings, Montana. Another bank in Jordan, Montana, I quote, Dodd-Frank has disproportionately affected small banks like mine, who have limited staff and resources to comply with the regulations created by the bill. Prior to Dodd-Frank's passage, my bill was able to keep up with the compliance regulations with one staff member. Now, in addition to that one staff member, we also have outside compliance consultants that cost us over $23,000 a year last year alone. I'm going to get back to that figure in a second. I have talked to many of my fellow bankers who decided to sell or merge with another bank. Almost every one of them has told me that the regulatory burden was one of the main reasons that caused them to sell or merge. The loss of small community banks is not good for our country, our consumers, or our economy. This bill provides many remedies. Not all remedies, but many remedies to lessen the regulatory burden on small banks, which allow us to remain competitive, viable, and able to serve the needs of our communities. The reason I bring up the $23,000, because there are some out there that may be listening and they just go, $23,000, that's not even a rounding error in a lot of businesses. Rex Phipps is the CEO of Garfield County Bank in Jordan, Montana. Their total asset is $86 million. This is a small bank that's getting pounded, that this bill is going to help in a big, big way. And I'm going to tell you, I could go on reading words of community bankers and credit union leaders and businesses in Montana who support this bill. But the bottom line is this. Folks sent us to the Senate to do something to help out the folks we represent. For too long, this body has been dragged into the mud, and as a result, we've had partisan and zero-sum policies and zero-sum politics. Dysfunction has kept this Congress from doing its job. And part of that job is to fine-tune laws to ensure that regulation fits the risk. Enough is enough already. We must do something. And I am proud to work with 13 Republicans, 12 Democrats, one independent, who worked so hard to compromise on this bill that I think works very well for rural America. The Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act is a jobs bill, and it is a much-needed solution for the folks who power our local economies. You know, I look forward to this week's debate, and it is encouraging to see that the Senate is back here doing its job that we were sent here to do. It is encouraging that we have a bill here that has gone through the process to gather public input, to gather bipartisan support, and is now on the floor so that we can debate it, and I look forward to that debate, and I hope that debate is based on the facts. With that, I just want to say one more thing before I yield the floor. We would not be here today without Chairman Crapo. Chairman Crapo has done a fine job getting everybody's opinion, respecting everybody's opinion, and walking that line to allow for negotiations and having a good bill as the final product. I don't know what's going to be in the final manager's packet. I hope it doesn't change this bill dramatically, because I think this bill really fits the needs of our economies, especially in rural America right now. So with that, I would just say, look, we've got some work to do. Hopefully we can do it in a timely fashion and get this bill off to the House. Hopefully the House doesn't screw it up and we can get it to the President's desk for his signature. With that, I yield the floor.